Welcome to the Barbell Coach and Physio. Diving deep into all things powerlifting, strength, and rehab. Your hosts are Matthew Burton from River City Barbell and Laura Fox from Fox Physiotherapy and Strength Rehab.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. Welcome back to everything that's been going on. It's been a crazy weekend and by the time you guys hear this, it'll be like a week later, but it's been a crazy weekend. I had nationals on the weekend. We had five girls there. How about you? How's your weekend?
Yeah, the week's been really good. I had a couple of late starts this week, had my brother over from Tassie. So he popped over on the way through to Europe. So he's on the plane at the moment.
The brother that used to be up at school and trip you over.
Yeah, that one, the twin brother. Yeah, so he didn't trip me over at all this trip, which was good.
I saw you guys having breakfast yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah, had breakfast and and his missus was over as well. She's not going to Europe. She'll head back to Tassie. So it was nice to catch up with them. It's always good to see the family. And then, yeah, apart from that, pretty normal week at work. Ran a seminar here last weekend.
Oh, how'd that go?
Yeah, it was good. So it was for the Women's Fitness Academy. We just did range of motion testing. So yeah, nice basic topic, but it was mainly a practical, which is always good, gets the girls up and involved a little bit more.
So much easier to do something when it's practical too than like trying to explain things through theory.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, with the theory side of things, you can, like, sometimes it's hard to see if people are following along. It's like sometimes they can be very interactive and you kind of get that they're following along, or like you might ask questions to kind of check where they're at. But yeah, every now and then you're unsure if things are going over their head or not, just like if there's, I guess, less interaction. So yeah, no, the practicals are always good. You can kind of definitely
see. And sometimes people don't like to really speak up either. Like if they don't feel like they feel a bit anxious that they don't know what they're talking about or ashamed about a question in the theory part of things.
Yeah. The groups we get for these, they vary quite a lot, like anywhere from 5 to 15 girls really. But I've found the few times it's been a smaller group, the girls are a little bit more interactive. Like, I don't know if it's because it's a smaller group, they're not as nervous about, speaking up anyway.
It's probably just because it's more intimate kind of scene as well. Like, you think about, like, smaller group of people, less people around, you kind of get to know each individual so you don't really feel judged or you're not afraid to, speak up a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, you had a very exciting weekend. It looked like a super successful weekend for River City Barbell. Oh, so would you like to give us a little rundown?
We could start with my anxiety levels were at a level 10 on, like, say, Saturday morning. I don't know why, but I was super anxious about this weekend. I knew all my – I just get anxious about my clients, I guess it is. Like, I care so much and that they have a successful day that it just – kind of, I have to just be like in a ball of anxiety. I kind of take on everyone else's stress as well.
Yeah.
So Saturday I had two girls in the morning, one in the afternoon. I had to wrap the two in the morning and that was like hectic because they were like back to back, man. Oh, my arms, help me. Everybody that comes to me from now on, you're welcome to squat and sleeves because, you know, I say that all the time, but I still love wraps. Anyway, Lee won the 82s. By a mile, by like 30 kilos in the total, like absolutely demolished it. She squatted 175, benched, I think she benched 85. And then we didn't do a third bench because she dislocated her shoulder. So to give you a bit of insight about her story, if no one knows about it, she fell pregnant 2 weeks prior to Worlds last year and then competed with the stress of not knowing whether she wanted to keep it or not. And then a week later after, obviously, she had morning sickness and everything and was like really sick at comp and still came third at Worlds. But then she had a miscarriage a week later. So she's been through a lot in like this whole last 12 months or probably 10 months now. But then also at the start of the year, she slipped over in the bathroom and dislocated her shoulder. So her bench suffered really badly like this prep because she's still like rehabbing her shoulder. But she benched like 85, which is only 5 kilos off her PR, but we just pulled it on her third because like we didn't want to ruin her shoulder for her dad's because we wanted to try and pull that 200 kilo. She pulled 190 and then unfortunately on the day it wasn't there. She didn't get the 200. She did also have her woman's, she's got bad luck when it comes to competing. Like she got her woman's things like a week out from like comp, and then she had them on comp day. So like she still won by 30 kilos with her period and still dominated and hit like 190 on conventional, and then she hit 85 bench and 175 squat. So that was pretty cool.
That's really good.
Yeah, so like none of them were really PRs. On conventional, the 190 was a PR because she switched from – she pulled 195 at comp, which was sumo. So she pulled 197 in prep with us, but obviously falling on her period on comp like really took a hit on her over the day. But she still killed it. Then Stevie competed in the same weight class. She had a 10-week prep because she competed 10 weeks ago at New South Wales States to get into nationals. So we had a 10-week period to kind of just – get as much progress as we could possible. So we did a little bit of volume and then peaked her again. She did really well. She put up 7 kilos on a squat. So this year she's gone from a 140 squat to a 157 squat in like 6 months. And then she benched 77, which was a 2.5. That was her previous PR from States. So she tried 80 and it just was too heavy, couldn't get it. She benched it in prep, but unfortunately didn't have it on comp day because I'm thinking squat took it out of her. And then she pulled a PR on deads, which was 5 kilos as well. So she put up a 400 kilo total as well. So two girls in the 82 kilo class with over 400 kilos. Lee went 450, which is crazy still to me to think that. And then I've got some stories to tell you. Like you'll listen to this and then you'll just be like, whoa, like I've got one massive story to tell you at the end, and you're gonna just be like, I can't believe that. So next up we had Laura. Unfortunately, Laura got a stomach bug 2 days before comp and had been throwing up, and she had not a very good competition. We went 50, I think she went 50, 45 squat and missed 57 twice. 157 twice, and then went bench. She benched, I'm pretty sure she benched like 77, and then her deadlift, she pulled 157.5. So none of them were PRs, but unfortunately, but she was just crook in the guts and still turned up and competed, had a good day, enjoyed herself, and, you know, still came out for dinner afterwards and made the most of the weekend while she was up. But it just unfortunately wasn't her day due to being sick a couple of days before. So then we roll on to Sunday and I had Nat and D compete. So I'm going to go over D first, and this is a story to tell you that she'll be telling stories about for the rest of her life. So she squatted 160, which was a 10 kg PB off, or 15 kg PB off Pro Raw, but she squatted 150 in comp before. Her body weight was, she's in the hundreds. Her body weight was 91.5. So she's at the bottom of her weight class because she couldn't qualify to go into the 90s, which she wanted to go into because she didn't want to do another comp, because originally she wasn't going to do nationals. So then she benched 80 kilos because she went for 85 and just couldn't move it twice. Unfortunately, this prep, her bench took a big toll, because we put a lot of work into her squat and deadlift, which really carried over and we got what we wanted out of it. But unfortunately, we lost like that 5 kilos on bench. But it is what it is. I'd rather get her squat and deadlift up because they're both good lifts. Then we go to deadlift. So she opened on 170, jumped to 180, and then went 190. So she pulled her third, right? She got it up and it literally was about to lock out, and her plates just fell off the side of the fucking deadlift bar. All the plates just fell off.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so she got a fourth, right? But this is like she pulled 190 in comp, right? And in comp prep, and the plates, like literally no joke, she just got above her knee and couldn't even like move it. It was like there was no chances of it going up. So it was a max lift. You think like, oh, 190 is going to be a max lift then. And she pulled it and she was about to lock it out. Literally no joke. I'll show you the video. She was about to lock out and then all the plates fell off one side. So they gave her a fourth because obviously it was a loading error. And I was like sitting out the back and I'm like, fuck, I really wanted to get this. If she doesn't get this, I'm like going to be so stressed because like when it happened, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like at the top of my lungs. And obviously it was a loader error. It was actually a faulty collar.
Calibrated collar.
Yeah. And there were new bars as well, apparently. So they were oily. So whatever, like it happens. It's no one's fault. It just happens. And anyway, she went back out there and fucking dominated and pulled 190. Like this girl turns up and does fucking shit and just gets it done, man. I'm not even kidding you. Like, oh, I just can't believe it. Like she went out there, it's calm as fuck, conservative, and just ripped it and fucking pulled it. And I was like, holy shit. Like that blew my mind. Like,
yeah. No, that's so impressive, especially after going for that attempt, like however long it was before. It's like that would be so fatiguing on the body. And then especially with that little mishap, like for her to then come back and reattempt it and get it, like that's super impressive.
Dude, that would rail me. Like I would be like, nah, I'm done. I couldn't do another one. Like because it was a max lift. Anyway, so then I had Nat, and this is like even a bigger story. So Nat last year bombed at Nationals, not with me. She had another coach. She had a very shit squat, like at that point. Like she came to me, poor dorsiflexion of the ankle, just really long legs and a shorter torso. So like when she squatted, she struggled to get to depth. So I worked a lot on her dorsiflexion, got it moving a little bit better, but over time it kind of helped a little bit, but we still sat on that borderline of like whether she was going to hit depth or not. So I slapped her in heels, and from that point forward, like her squat just turned into the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. She just moved so much more efficiently, and this is where it comes down to like sometimes you just need to give some people because of their proportions in their body a heel lift and you'll get more out of them. But she just squats so beautiful now. So she squatted a PR of 165, which was like a 7 kg PB, and that was in sleeves. That's not in wraps. So same as D was 160 in sleeves. The other girls were in wraps on the Saturday, and then she benched 67, which was a PR as well, a 2.5 PR. So we went to deadlifts, right? So last time she competed in Melbourne at the start of the year, she pulled 180, and it was like an empty bar. There was nothing on, like it was, I was like, we're going for 200 this prep because this is, I know like it's there. And she's like, oh, I don't know if it's there. You know, she couldn't even get 185 off the ground because she trains on like a stiff bar and bumpers, but she was in the middle of uni exams as well while she was like also coming into prep. Anyway, so we go out, she pulls 175 our opener, which she told me was going to be too heavy for our opener, and it was like empty bar. So we jump straight to 190. What did we jump to for her second? Was like 185. She smoked that, and I was like, all right, we're going to 192.5 for your third. And she's like, okay, cool, no worries. But she didn't know that I was planning because she took a record. Every deadlift was a record. So she was breaking her own record from her opener all the way through to her third. So I was setting her up to see how like her third move to go for the record for a fourth at 200. And she got the third, like an empty bar again. And I'm like, all right. I said to her before she goes out, come straight back to me and I'll tell you, I got something to tell you. And I'm like, she's like, all right, no worries. She come over and I'm like, we're going for a fourth, 200 kilos. And she's like, oh, really? And I'm like, yep, we're doing it. And she went out there and fucking destroyed it. Like pulled 200 kilos as a junior, 22 years old, came first in the juniors and came second in the opens. So yeah.
Sounds like a very solid day.
Yeah, it was fucking cool, man. I was at the end of the day, I was exhausted, but it was super cool. And then it was actually pretty cool because Lee, we figured out, so the highest dots, you know how they do overall dots?
Yeah.
So Lee finished second in the highest dots in the females as well. So,
yeah, nice.
So I was pretty happy there. Yeah, so it was cool. And that's my weekend.
And yeah. No, very successful. Once again, it's like you have a big team presence there and the team of, yeah, either smashed their goals or dominated the platform. So much success.
Yeah, I was excited. Nationals is always a good thing, and I got to see so many of my good friends as well that come up from like all over the place, like Dennis and Anthony and everyone. We just all got to catch up and just really have a laugh together and stuff. So it's always like going to the national events. Next up is Zero Pro, and that's where I'll be competing as well. But the venue for nationals was insane this year, like so good with the like stadium seating and stuff like that. So, and then, yeah, so then to have a bit of a rant too, this has got nothing to do with nationals or anything. It's fuck Australia Post. So that's all I could say. Fuck Australia Post. Straight up.
What happened?
So 7 days ago, I bought a Roadcaster and they sent it to fucking Townsville. My address is on the top of the box. Anyway, they sent it to Townsville. I don't even know how they could send it there. Like they couldn't. So I started calling them on Tuesday when it came up on my phone that it was in Townsville, right? And I called them. They said to me, yeah, no worries. We're going to send a driver around there to collect it today. I called every day for 7 days. They did not send anyone around there at all. And I got so fed up that I Googled on Google what addresses were similar to mine, found the house that it was at that had a car similar in the driveway on Google Maps, right? Wanted to put on social media if someone could help me out and go around there and collect it. I got my mate Paddy. Shout out Paddy, you're a fucking legend. He listens to our podcast. Paddy, you're amazing. He was up there on work. He was actually 10 minutes away, drove around there, knocked on the door, got my parcel back and reposted it to me. So I had to do Australia Post's fucking job for him. Like they couldn't even just organize to go get the parcel when there's $1,000 worth of fucking shit in it. It wasn't like it was a couple of $100 or $100 or whatever. It was like $1,000 worth of shit in there. And they couldn't even fucking go send someone around there to get it. So fuck Australia Post. There, I'm done.
Funny, I actually got a notification yesterday that, like, this isn't Australia Post's fault, but I bought Inza's, like, I think it was November or December, Inza sleeves for Pro Raw sleeves. And I literally got a notification yesterday saying, like, your parcel's in transit. And I was like, I'm like, is this just a spam? Because I'm like, I haven't ordered anything. Like, I'm not waiting for anything online.
Oh, you forgot.
Yeah, and I was like, what is that? And then it was from Loaded Lifting. I was like, what? What have I ordered? And then I realized it would be the Inza sleeves that I ordered, yeah, like 7 months ago.
Fuck, man, that's so bad. That's the worst service ever, hey? Not Loaded Lifting's fucking fault, but Inza in general.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just, yeah. Like, I just mean, like, not Loaded Lifting because it's not their fault, you know? Obviously, it's the supplier who gets them to them, Inza, but like it's a bit out there, you know, like I feel like there could be better service there. So yeah, like that is what it is, I guess. But I got it back and it's in the parcel. Apparently it landed in Brisbane today and I'm hoping to get it over the weekend because I'm really frustrated because it's put me behind on like now podcast stuff. So yeah. Like, hopefully I get it this week. But anyway, that's my rant for the week.
It wouldn't be a podcast without a little rant from Maddie.
Ooh, you had a rant last week, so it's my turn this week.
Yeah.
So this week we are going to talk about bench press to follow on the series of, like, talked about the hinge and then we talked about the squat. So today we're going to talk about bench and I'm guessing, like, we'll talk about, like, the mechanics of bench and arch, feet position, hand position, that type stuff. So, and then Laura might talk about a little bit about like problems we see with the bench that gets cored. Yep. But yeah, like I personally, when I look at bench, when we're coming from like a perspective, I like to look at like the person and their mechanics first before like I start to make a judgment on where feet, hands, and that type of position is. Cause like, if you got someone that's got really short arms, I'll use my client Justin for an example. He has a very flat back, but he can bench with a closer grip on bench with flat feet and have that little bit extra range because he's got shorter arms. But if you got someone like me or someone that has longer arms, you need to kind of try and push yourself into more of an arch and widen your grip so you can shorten that range. Otherwise, you're just increasing like range and you're probably going to find it harder to push that weight over a longer range. Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I guess like the wider grip is generally going to shorten someone's range of motion, which generally speaking should allow someone to lift more weight, which is what we're trying to do in powerlifting. But the thing with a wider grip is a wider grip, you're typically putting your shoulder into a lot more of an unstable position. Obviously, like in a more narrower grip, our shoulders are like kind of everything's stacked quite nicely, like it's quite tight through there. And then the wider we take our shoulder out, it's just a more unstable position. So that does increase the demand for stability. So if someone has quite unstable shoulders, they might not be able to get the same force out there as they would with a closer grip, or they might end up getting some pain pop up. But yeah, typically speaking, a wider grip will shorten the range of motion and give you a more powerful bench.
Do you want to go through the muscles that you use in a wider grip than you use in a closer grip, like from a more of a biomechanical look? Like, because I feel like people don't understand what you use more when you're wider than you do like when you're like in a closer grip.
Yeah, yep, yep. So I guess the closer grip will typically, you'll be using a little bit more of your arms. So you'll be using more triceps to extend, opposed to in that wider position, you will be using like more pec. But in saying that too, I think with the bench press, like probably more novice lifters, like people learning bench press technique when they're coming into powerlifting, or even perhaps like into bodybuilding as well, where it's like people are lifting the weights but probably don't quite have the repetition of skill, or perhaps they don't have such a like an eye looking over their technique of bench press, because it's more about like volume accumulation or intensity, other things. They're not really like breaking that movement down. Like the amount of times I've seen bodybuilders and they're like, I feel bench pressing my shoulders. And it's like, all right, cool. Let's change a few things, how you're actually doing the movement. And then they're able to feel it in their pecs. But yeah, sorry. So what I was saying is I think a lot of people don't realize how much of the back you're using through the bench press. So obviously the lats are a really important stabilizer in this movement. So if you kind of don't have that strong base, you're not going to then have as much power to push off. Also, just obviously having your lats in a tight position, it's going to help to reinforce the arch. So it'll give you a bigger arch, keep that nice and tight. Obviously, that also follows into leg drive with that arch and force being reinforced. But yeah, the lats, they're going to give you the arch, that tight base to push off, and they're just going to help stabilize the shoulder and keep everything moving well through there as well.
Yeah. Like you said, with the skill thing, if you want to like widen your grip and you find that you are a very close grip person and you want to try it, just go out like a finger at a time and just work, because event like and find your position by like, don't just go, I'm going to go wider and go super wide. Kind of just adjust it over time and you'll find your body will adapt to it a bit lot better. And it's like anything, if you want to build skill, you just got to train that position as well.
Yeah, 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 definitely. Like so much bench progress happens, or progress in general just happens from doing the skill. So I guess like most people I know will do a bench and a bench variation. So lifting twice a week, and it's like just doing that skill. And it's especially when you're new and it's like the load's going to be lower, or you're relearning that technique, like it is important to reinforce what you're learning. So the more you do it, the more that skill is going to be reinforced. And I guess that's where from your point of view as a coach, you probably do different things with people into a peak as well, because it's like if they're a more novice lifter, well, firstly they're probably going to be able to recover from lifting the weight in that kind of peak week. But then also it's like you probably just want to get them doing that skill just to kind of keep things ticking along, just kind of keep that movement pattern firing well in that week leading into comp.
And the thing is too, your upper body recovers so much faster than your lower body, so you can actually push that upper body a little bit more. As long as your shoulders and that are functioning well, you can kind of push bench 2 to 3 times a week, whether it's a bench press specific, a variation, and then some dumbbell variation where, or 3 types of bench. It just depends on how you recover and how you deal with like that much bench. Like I know I can get to a point where I bench 3 times a week, but it doesn't last for longer than 6 weeks and it becomes a little bit too much. But then like the thing is too, the more you bench and sometimes your squat or deadlift might suffer as well. So you've got to find that happy medium where your maximum recovery volume is and work on that and try not to push past it, because that's when you will exceed into problems. Yeah, so like most people I see can deal with like, where girls can deal with like 3 benches a week, boys more like 2 and a dumbbell. But it just, like I said, it just depends on the person. If you're someone like we spoke about before that has a longer range of motion, you're probably going to get beat up a little bit more than someone that has a shorter range of motion, you know?
Yeah, yep, definitely. And then I think from a physio's point of view, the most common thing we see with the bench press would be anterior shoulder pain. So typically that's a little bit of a referral from the rotator cuff infraspinatus, or it could also be a little bit of biceps involvement as well. And normally the two of those pathologies will kind of happen concurrently, because what happens is the bicep is a secondary stabilizer of the shoulder. So if you have some kind of issue with stability in the shoulder, the bicep will tighten up to give that shoulder extra stability. But obviously with doing that, as then, yeah, tightening up can cause more pain. So typically it can be coming from a lack of shoulder stability, but it also could be a little bit of a technical breakdown as well. So yeah, the common things we'll see is people not using their lats well enough, especially at the bottom of the movement. So it's like you'll kind of see them come down and then all of a sudden their shoulders are just going to dip forward, roll forward. It's like their thoracic's going into a little bit of flexion. They're just losing that really tight position. So that's kind of what we see. Yeah, that's the main niggle we see with bench press.
One of the things I see that would screw with your shoulder as well a lot is when people are like, have their wrists, they're bent back, and it puts like that pressure on the shoulder as they come down, their elbows kind of twist. It's like they're trying to compensate to get the bar into a position. So the bar is like the hands bent right back instead of keeping it stacked over your wrist so that you have that force to drive through the forearm. Your wrist is kind of like the center mass of it's kind of behind your arm, and they're trying to compensate to bring it down, and then their elbow kind of tucks under, and then you think about what happens when you do that. You feel it on the top of the shoulder. They're kind of putting this pressure on the top of the shoulder in the pec and the front delt all the time, and then they end up getting really beat up over that. So you got to make sure that you keep that wrist kind of stacked, the bar. Like literally I have on my hand across there where the bar sits is like a callus now. So that's when you know you're a true power lifter.
The battle starts.
And like you literally got to keep that bar stacked over your forearm, because if it goes behind, immediately you're going to feel that in your shoulder and it's going to beat you up a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, having a little bit of wrist extension is fine, but yeah, obviously anything too excessive we don't want. And when we see movements that are happening too excessively that are more distal, so further away from the shoulder, so like elbow, wrist, it's often a result of not having the mobility closer to the body, so like at the shoulder. And that's where we can see elbow niggles pop up as well. And even though it could be a direct result of bench, or it could also be doing bench after a heavy squat day, a lot of the times we get elbow pain through bench is because we don't have that external rotation ability through the shoulder. And obviously shoulder, ball and socket joint, that's meant to have a lot of rotation. Elbow, hinge joint, that's pretty much just meant to bend and straighten. Like we don't tolerate a lot of rotational force at that joint. So if we don't have that rotational capacity at the shoulder, and obviously the barbells there fixed, our elbows trying to kind of, I guess, compensate for that rotational force, and it doesn't tolerate it very well.
Yeah. And once you start to get a bit of elbow pain, it's kind of like really frustrating when you're trying to bench all the time and your elbows flare up and that type of stuff. So like you kind of want to avoid these situations if you can. A lot of the time my elbow pain comes nothing from like bench, it's always from squat. So that's just shit shoulder mobility, but we've worked on that, and I've actually haven't had pain all this year so far. So let's see. It's 14 weeks out now. We'll see what happens. But yeah, off topic there a little bit, but like if we want to look at like feet position as well. So I'm on the borderline. I don't know where I'm at yet. I'm training flat footed at the moment. I don't know if I'm going to go back to heels up yet, but it seems to be working well. But I find that with my flat feet, I can really muscle it off my chest, whereas like when I have like my toes up, I have probably less stability on the eccentric and I rely more on leg drive, whereas like when I have my feet flat out in front of me, I rely more on my upper body to drive force. So how do you find, what are you flat feet or feet up?
Yeah, I changed to flat feet a couple of preps ago when I had a little bit of a hip niggle, and I just couldn't like anything where I stretched that hip flexor when it was in that kind of acute phase was a bit intolerable. So I found putting flat feet, just taking my feet a little bit further away, helped me get leg drive. but without putting that hip flexor in too much of a stretch position where it would aggravate it or I'd lose tension as well. And yeah, since then, I've actually really liked doing the flat feet. And I actually tried a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I wonder if I'm still going to have more leg drive with that flat feet position, or if now that the hip's obviously been fine for ages, so whether I should go back to the heels up position. And so I tried it on my bench accessory day. I did a couple of sets with the heels down and a couple of sets with the heels up. And I actually found that the drive I got, and I could just maintain a lot better leg drive, a lot better arch through, like it just reinforced that arch so much better. It felt so much more powerful. I filmed both sets and the positioning that it then had through my upper body, like through that thoracic from that extra leg drive, was heaps better. So yeah, I think for this prep, I'm just going to keep my heels down, flat feet.
Yeah, cool. I find because my hips are in less, like that pelvis is less tilted when you got your feet flat. Same thing, I feel like I can get my chest up higher. I can arch better through that thoracic and kind of push myself in more. But the only problem I have is like unracking myself. Unless it's a combo rack, I can't unrack myself. So because I kind of, it's not that I'm further away from the bar, it's just I can't get underneath the bar enough to kind of like push it up. Whereas I could unrack 150 any day of the week when I was like an arch, but the stability on my arch with my heels up was like a lot less. Like I kind of struggled to control the speed of the bar. Like whereas like when my feet are flat, I feel like I have more stability and I have way more control over the whole lift from start to finish. And I don't even think it's because I'm like, I kind of feel like I can push and drive my elbows out more as well on flat feet. I don't know what it is, but it just, the weight feels, not that it feels weightless, I still feel how heavy it feels, but I feel like that drive off my chest is, it might be because there's more pec involved as well, that I might, like I can just push more because I'm stronger in that position, but we'll soon see. So I've benched 152 with flat feet so far and it moved pretty well, so I was happy with that, but I guess we'll find out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Very exciting. I think as well, talking about bench and just getting the most out of it for comp day, obviously we talk about specific training quite a lot. Like there's a time for specific powerlifting training. There's a time for training the skill of the movement. And then there's also a time for variety, just general like joint health and hypertrophy, like different training. I think personally, something that's really helped my bench press improve a lot has been doing like the comp specific pauses. So my coach gets me to do like pretty much a comp pause on most benches, definitely for the main lift. And then the accessory day might be something different. It might be a longer pause. It might be touch and go, whatever. My weakness is actually holding the bar on the chest. So yeah, lately the accessory bench has actually been a 2-count pause. And then we've done some touch and go bench after that just to drive some volume. But I found, yeah, what's really helped strengthen my bench is just doing that pause every rep rather than just doing a pause on the first rep or rather than just all touch and go. And I guess that's very specific to on the day where it's like you have to pause for maybe a second to whenever you get that press call. Yeah.
I have a rule and it's in my spreadsheet and it's in our video comp, like where it says, like obviously our video links says comp bench press. And it's if it's 3 or lower, you pause every rep. If it's 3 and if it's 4 and up, it's pause your first rep, don't care what. If it's 6 or 8 reps, you pause your first rep and then you do your reps.
Yeah.
That's my rule as a coach, just because we want to create the same habits from start to finish. You want to know you have to pause your bench always, whether it's a 6 rep, you're just going to do the first one and then do 5 reps, not pause. But if it's 3, I want you pausing all 3 because we want to create that consistent habit. So when you do come to comp, it's just programmed in your head, because I feel like that's something that people lack. They pause, they forget to pause, or they're not used to that pause and they get a long pause and count and then they just get smashed. So one of the things I do coming into comp sometimes, I will give people 3-second pause bench. So just to get them used to it, or a 2-second pause with a 4-second eccentric, so that they get used to that pause count, because, you know, you go to a comp and you get a long pause count, next minute you like miss your bench.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all seen that. Yeah, we've all seen the person that like goes down And you're like, yep, they're going to get it. And then the next minute won't come off their chest because, like, they're not used to the pause count. But, yeah, and that's the same thing. You just want, like, it's like anything. You want to create these automatic habits in your training so that when you do get on the platform, it just becomes a habit anyway. So I pause all my shit. Like, so I was doing sixes last night and I was still pausing them. So that's just me, but like I just pause everything. I always have, and I kind of like the challenge of stopping for 1 second or 2 seconds on my chest when I got sets of six. So,
no, I think it is an effective way. I guess it is dependent on the person and what their current goal is. Like, if just trying to drive volume, or yeah, is there, like for me personally, that weak point is at like holding the bar at the chest. So it's like it'd be, yeah, it's been very beneficial for me to be able to pause every rep. But yeah, I guess it's very specific to that person and what the goal of their training is.
Another good exercise for you would be pin press. So, yeah. So if you,
but then you're not having to hold it on the chest. You're more just driving.
Yeah, but if you, if you set the pin press to on your chest, so just above your chest. So like if you stop in that point where it's just lightly touching your chest, if you can get the pins to that, you're going to probably feel tension off that position because you've got to lay it down onto the things and then kind of push back up. Yeah, you get what I mean? So you can set pin press at any height. Like I don't necessarily go by it because they say to do it like, say, an inch off your chest. But if someone I know has a issue like that, I will maybe give them pause prep, like a pause bench and then also like a pin press. So they build like two types of different tension on that chest and they can kind of drive that force up, because obviously pin press, when you bring it down and you go back on, you don't let go of tension. You keep the tension on the bar, but it's going to be like a dead weight because it's resting on something first. So you're kind of building that that consistent tension from the bottom of the hole.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how, like there's something I've used previous that's worked well, but yeah. But like you said, pauses on chest, if that's your weakness, is always going to work well as well. So you're just repeating the habit that you actually need to do anyway. So,
yeah.
You got anything else to think of in bench press? Like anything I can think of is thoracic mobility. Is that something you see a bit of like problems with as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, both thoracic mobility, external rotation mobility, and then shoulder stability, they're probably the main things that we'll need to rehab people with, apart from obviously just doing the skill of the bench press better, so refining the technique. But yeah, thoracic mobility is a big thing. I guess a lot of people probably live sedentary lifestyles outside of the gym. Not everybody, but a lot of people might, yeah, work at the desk. They're sitting, they're not really putting their upper back in a good position for keeping movement. So yeah, a lot of people I'll get to do like rehab or prehab before the bench, and it'll often consist of some form of thoracic mobility for most people, whether it's, and even shoulder mobility as well. So like a couple of basic exercises I get a lot of people to do would be like the thoracic cat camels. Obviously that's getting some good thoracic flexion, thoracic extension. The other thing that that does is it gets shoulder protraction, retraction. And if we have tightness through our upper back, like a lot of times it can just be that the rhomboid in like a short tight position. And if that rhomboid's short, it's not going to really allow that shoulder blade to get full movement, like protraction, retraction. So then it's kind of going to be a little bit stiff. We're going to find it harder to set the shoulders. So a lot of exercises we give can seem quite basic, but there's like a pretty good reason behind it. So something like that, it's such a simple exercise, but it can really get those shoulder blades moving better, as well as that thoracic area moving better, so that they can actually get in the right positions. Because as we also know, like strength is positional. So it's like if someone's trained themselves in a certain motion and then all of a sudden they're stiff through their upper back, they can't quite get in the same position, they're probably not going to have the same strength, as well as it's changing the movement if they're in a different position as well.
And when we look at the arch as well, you don't arch from your lumbar, you arch from your thoracic. Obviously there is a little bit of like flexion through the lower part of your back, but it's not like, I think a lot of people think it comes from the lumbar mainly, but most of it comes from the thoracic. If you look at where most people who have big, big arches, like girls, it's coming from that like thoracic area.
Yeah.
Like almost midway down, but like it kind of not like the top of your thoracic, obviously, but like it's not coming from where people think it comes from, like the lumbar spine.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. The part of the back we're trying to get the arch is the upper back, the thoracic spine. And obviously, yeah, naturally you're just going to see someone's lower back extending as well because of the position they're in. And then they're driving themselves into even more like with the leg drive. But yeah, essentially the more thoracic extension we can get, that's going to make that touch point a little bit higher. It's going to put us in a position where we can probably really use those lats to stabilize as well.
Another thing I want to bring up that just come to my head too is like when we look at like your feeding position when you're arching too, obviously when you're a heels up arch, if you've got a bigger arch, your bum is likely to come up off the bench a little bit more than if you're like say in feet down. So one thing I have figured out that if you turn your heels in towards the bench more, you kind of lock your hips in, but you got to open up your legs to allow your body to kind of slide and hug the bench. So if you drop down on the bench and then squeeze the bench again, but rotate your heels in, have your toes out, it locks your hips so your bum doesn't go up, it goes backwards. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I learned recently with one of my clients. He was having trouble because he's got a big arch, big bench, and his bum was coming off the seat, and that's how we fixed it. But that's the difference between feet flat and feet up. Like if you have your feet flat, I see less people's bum come off the seat also, because you also have a larger amount of your butt on the seat. You're kind of like a bit more pancaked with your bum on the seat rather than your butt twisted up.
Yeah, yeah.
You seen that? Like, did you find that your bum comes up more when your toes were up or your feet were flat? Because you had a problem with your bum coming up for a bit there, didn't you?
It might have come up a couple of times. It came up in a comp, like my very first comp.
Yeah, I swear your first comp it came up, but that's probably just an amateur thing.
I think it was just first comp. Like, I don't think it had really happened in training.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I do find leg drive a lot easier at the moment with the feet flat.
Because you kind of push – when you leg drive, you push back with flat feet. You don't push up. Whereas, like, when you got your heels down, a heels up, you kind of drive, and sometimes people don't know how to push, so it goes back. The force goes backwards. And all it takes with someone that's got a bigger arch just to lift up that little bit and your bum comes up. So easy. Especially with girls. Like, I see a lot of girls with that bigger arch that kind of, like – use leg drive and their bum comes up so easy off that seat. So like the way to stop that is, like I said, just open up your legs, allow your body to shift onto the bench a bit more, squeeze the bench and rotate your heels in to lock your hip. So yeah, that's a good way to finish up there. Hope you guys enjoy the episodes. We'll try to bring you more of these ones. Like, really enjoyed doing the squat, bench and deadlift lately. Some good information that we've been putting out for everyone, but thanks for listening. If you guys could do us a favor and give us a 5-star review, I'm going to give away a free 2-kilo tub of protein to anybody. Just make sure you tag us in on social media. But other than that, thanks for listening.
See you, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Barbell Coach and Physio Podcast. Subscribe to hear future episodes and join us on Instagram at Barbell Coach and Physio and at Fox.Physio and River City Barbell _Oz.